Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Bronny James has signed a rookie contract with the Lakers. Bronny James, that we mentioned, obviously, now was formally introduced yesterday by the Lakers. You saw him sitting there taking questions again. That's something that's kind of new because, keep in mind, I mean, as a high schooler and coming up as a prospect, we didn't get to see him interviewed much. So, the LeBron machine and, you know, I suppose Clutch as well in terms of the advisement, you know, it sort of kept him under wraps in terms of how much we had heard from him and everything else. So just hearing from Bronny was kind of new. Talks a lot like his dad. And I was kind of watching it. Has some dad mannerisms in terms of the way he holds the mic.
Yep.
Maybe that was just me, but I saw a lot of dad in him. With all due apologies, it felt like Dalton Connect, you know, didn't get very much of the shine at all. A guy who went in the first round for him, who we're all high on, slides obviously to 17, but obviously the day was all about, you know, the history that's being made with Bronny coming to the league. And then we got more interesting information that will be a multi-year contract that he signs, according to Shams, 4 years, $7.9 million. It's a team option for a fourth season. So it's locked in. You figured it would be, but we didn't have numbers. And so 4 years, $7.9 million. Sound like Brad almost drove off the road this morning, kind of like Jeff, a la Jeff. When he heard how high that contract was. I mean, what we're talking about being drafted, what, 50, was it 55? In the 50s, that is yeah. But we knew this was, we've known for a long time a deal like this was coming, and so I don't think anybody's surprised. You know, how much of an opportunity is to get early? I don't suspect it'll be very much, as the Lakers are trying to establish themselves as still a contender in the Western Conference in this league. We all know with the way that roster is right now and the inability to make a move for a Klay Thompson or anyone right now of any name, kind of know what they are. But I suspect as they try to, you know, play LeBron and AD, you know, you push the pedal to the metal trying to, you know, trying to stretch this thing out, there's going to be a sense of urgency. So him getting meaningful minutes early, I just can't see it because they're still a team that's telling themselves they're in a running for a championship. Down the line,
right,
as John and I have pointed out and as we have predicted, when LeBron, feeling like he's got his son settled in, decides to go chase another championship, maybe there will be more opportunity. What's going to be is a lot of G League. And I figure sometime with the big club in which J.J.B. Redick will be asked more than he wants to a ton about, are you going to bring him into the rotation? How much is he going to play? Because it does feel there is a part of this clearly that is forced. And it does feel like at some point at this season, you know, whether they're in the running or not, the Lakers are going to put Bronny out there with his father so that they can have that historic moment. Literally be the franchise that put the two together. And I guess right now that's what you got to be okay with, as opposed to championships and watching what the Celtics are doing and watching the way they've built that and how much more of a chance they've got to win more. This is what you've got right now. And so your chance to make history is this. And so I suspect at some point this season we will see a forced on the floor pairing of Bronny and his son. All that said, I mean, while I love the way Bronny has been prepared for this, and that speaks to how great a dad clearly LeBron is, and we probably don't talk about that enough, you know, because of the expectations that have been poured on his kids, the way he's protected them and sort of where they are now, and you listen to him, I mean, he's clearly well-raised, but you've done it too. He's motivated to be his own man. And that's what you draw clearly out of his answers. It's what he's told most of those teams at the combine, and it's what he's going to have to prove. And here's the way I would bottom line the discussion on Bronny for me. Is he going to be allowed to do that in this situation where everything, again, feels so forced to make history? Is he going to be allowed to be his own man? If LeBron does what John and I think is possible and leaves, I think there is that possibility. But as long as he's under dad's wing and it's forced and he's constantly being asked about being forced to rotation, and then maybe J.J. Redick starts to feel a pressure to maintain his job and to appease LeBron to do it, and the whole thing falls apart. Well, that is not the road to being your own man. I want Bronny to be the best possible player he can be, and I'm not sure it's going to be with this Los Angeles Lakers organization, or if it's going to be with them, I think it's going to be post-LeBron. I think it's going to be after dad, when dad's not controlling things in the way that he is now. Mm-hmm. That's how you go off and you be your own man. LeBron has said that. It's easy to say that and want it, but it's hard, I imagine, as a parent to not want to do everything you can to set your child up, right, for success. And there's a part of me as a dad that respects the heck out of that in terms of what LeBron has done here, right, making that path, helping make that path possible. In many ways, you say forcing that path. But at some point, as a dad, you have to let go and hope that everything that you've poured in is enough to sustain them as they leave you, as they become, you know, further and further unwrapped for your finger, the way we've talked about it, where your kids, they start out wrapped around and slowly it's an unraveling. That's what happens. And that's a beautiful thing, because then they can go out and be their own man and make their own name for themselves. It's clearly important to him. I'm not sure you get off to the best start, right, with the way it's happening. That said, I'm not going to hate on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't.
At all. I'm happy for the young man. I love the way he's handled himself.
I think Harrington I was listening, driving in, and I thought Harrington really kind of summed it up pretty well. He said, listen, it doesn't bother me because nepotism is something that has existed in not just basketball, but the world, and will forever exist in the world. And so this is not any different than that. But I'm also not going to treat this as something that it's not on the same token. Like, this was not some crowning achievement of a storied collegiate career where Bronny James went from nothing to something, and it was you know, punctuated by a draft selection. This was, and again, I'm using a lot of what Harrington said because I agree with it, but this was just an example of a powerful player exerting his leverage to have his son drafted. And you know what? That's fine. I'm not saying LeBron James is a criminal for doing that. I'm not saying that I wouldn't do the same thing. I'm not saying, you know, I'm sure a lot of us, if we had the ability to do that, you know, and it does happen, right? Like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of people whose father knew the CEO of a company or the boss of a company and got their kids on at that company, mm-hmm. right? It's the same gist, right? You know, people use their power and their leverage every single day if they have it. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not as high profile as a draft slot, but in this case it was. And so I mean, look, that's the beauty of it. LeBron earned that. LeBron did not have any advantages coming up other than his God-given ability. I mean, nothing was given to LeBron. At all.
No, he went out there, got it.
I mean, he was anointed as a, and this, I will ride for LeBron on this all day long. His maneuvering and functioning while being in the spotlight and under the heat lamp for his entire life has been, to me, the shining example for any aspiring professional athlete, the way he's done it.
Well, I mean, and I would point to just the way he's, you know, he brought his friends with him.
Exactly.
But he didn't. But he told him, "You're going to have to earn it too, and let's all go out and do this together."
Absolutely.
In terms, of, I mean, absolutely. How can you, you know? And for the most part, they've done it in a, I mean, in a way you can't argue against. Like, it's been positive. Everything else, they've risen to power by going out and earning it. You know, rich and all that. I mean, exactly. all of that in
yes.
terms of where they're at, and none of that was given to them.
Yeah. So I have no issue with it. LeBron earned his right to have leverage and to use it. And when you have it, you should use it. And he did. And, you know, I mean, look, the contract, whatever, who cares? It's not like it impacts me or you. This is how the Lakers want to run their franchise. Now, I mean, I think, could we have a longer discussion about their choice to tie themselves to LeBron the way they have?
We've already had the discussion.
Sure.
It's foolish.
Yeah, I mean, it has not worked.
It's not going to produce what the Celtics are doing right now.
Right, but when you're already in it, it's hard to get out of.
Exactly. I understand.
Exactly. And so they might as well just, because what else, what other plan would they have? I mean, they don't have another plan other than this is their best. This is the best they can do. Now, they're going to be in shambles, you know, 3-4 years from now because they have nothing other than, oh, come play for the Lakers.
Well, especially if they end up giving up first-round picks, like Pelinka's saying they're going to make available right now.
Right.
To try to go get something because they have no other assets.
Which they are going to do.
And they're going to be further, you know, those depleted in terms of assets.
Yeah, so I don't have any issue with it at all. Just don't make me sit here and pretend that this was like some, you know, crowning moment, one shining moment for Bronny. I mean, this happened because LeBron is your dad and LeBron plays. Like, and again, that's fine. Like, if you know, I was in a situation where my parents' relationship with a place could get me guaranteed $8 million over the next 4 years, I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll dry my tears with M's. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It doesn't, having to work harder doesn't really ultimately, you know, if it's all the same, working your ass off to get to 55 or getting there because you were just, you're LeBron is your dad, it really doesn't change the equation.
I will say some of it seems a bit unfair because he seemed on a track to be going headed for lottery status before the heart thing.
True.
So that, I mean that was something that was that and
no,
something
I mean,
he's brought through.
Bronny was not a bum.
But we've said so yeah. He hasn't earned it because he's a college guy. He only averaged 5. Part of the reason he was in that spot is something that was completely out of his control.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do. I think back to, you know, how scared his parents must have been just for our son
exactly.
at one point. So that's another reason why you can't hate on this man. I mean, the kid at one point is wondering, is he going to have a basketball career at all? I'm not going to tell you it's some beautiful Disney story because
no.
so much of it is forced.
Right.
It's like you said though. We'll keep it real about it, but not hate on it.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I hope for Bronny, the young man.
I just don't know if he becomes his own man, you know.
That's going to be tough.
At some point, Daddy's got to let him out from under the wing.
But maybe that's why LeBron
leaves.
He's
got to fly on his
own. He got him the 4-year guarantee.
I think it's even more reason, right. And LeBron ain't done chasing titles, I don't think.
I agree with you. I mean, if he's going to go through the trouble of all this, like he's going to want to what's he got, 4 right now?
Yes. Yeah, you forget that every time. And then you
I always want to give him 5, but he said I had 5.
No, he's got 4. Right. He's lost 6 times.
Right, he's 4-6 in the finals.
It was 10 straight, right? That was the right.
Yeah.
It was 10 straight finals.
Yeah,
about that's never going to be done again.
And he has not been back since that 2020, the bubble season.
Well, ain't going to go back.
I won't rule that out. If he won't go back with the Lakers, though, I'll give you that.
You were Steph, would you want him?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because his options are what? Kuminga and Wiggins? Come on. It's rough.
Yeah, I'd want him in bubble wrap though, because for Steph it'd only be about titles, and I'd need highest level LeBron playoff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, if you're forcing things during the regular season, just get some seed or whatever.
Yes.
You ain't gonna get high level.
And
LeBron
would allow Steph to play off the ball full time, basically, at least a lot more than he has been able to.
Well, they tried, but yeah.
I mean,
they have to do something to give Steph another chance. He's playing at a too high level to go out.
Yeah, I mean,
to just keep Steph chained to you for the rest of his life because, you know, with the money, obviously, in the contract, it'd just be a disservice to him. You have to try one
right.
more time. Now, I mean, and that is the charge of Dunleavy now that Bob Myers is out there.
Right.
And he saw the writing on the wall.
Yes.
Dunleavy needs to do something big. You know, you got to try something.
Let's do next story because that leads us to exactly where we were going.
Oh, okay.
Next story.
I'm sorry, I was rattling on.
But no, because I was going to go to the Warriors next because there's
okay.
a couple of bit of
Yo, you're right.
a couple
you're
right. items. One is Klay Thompson. There's a piece that Ronald Shelburne wrote about sort of the end and how miserable he had gotten.
He's bitter.
Not only just because his play has fallen off, but because he never felt like he was appreciated, which is interesting to hear that and see that, he never felt like he was appreciated as much as Steph or even Draymond, which I think obviously, like, Steph, you had to know you were not going to be as appreciated as Steph. He's the superstar.
Can that be argued, though? Because Splash Brothers.
Yeah, but he's the one that was, he was clearly the B.
I understand that, but I'm saying over Draymond.
Oh, well, that's the part of it that I would say,
that
yes.
That separates you,
yes, you
to me.
That's
and what, you
yeah.
are in an argument, and I saw Steph talking about this, the best backcourt ever.
Correct.
You're in that argument.
And I think
and to me, that puts you above Draymond.
They got Draymond's deal done.
So how could he be, unless he's super thin-skinned, how could you be so worried about, oh, people, you know, Draymond's more revered than me? Well, because you're a Splash Brother.
Well,
and
yeah,
you're part of the best.
No, the reason is because they got Draymond's deal done, and they were messing around with him on his money. That's the problem.
Yeah, but then he got, what, 40 or whatever it was?
Yeah, but they were, like, they were haggling with him, you know? Like, they just, he just felt
again, you're trying to come back from injury? Like, we kind of understood it.
But I get it. I get it on a human level. He's like, yo, you guys, you couldn't wait to get Draymond his, you know, 25 or whatever it ended up being.
But we all thought that was too much when they did it. But, yeah, to your point, they still gave it
that's
to him.
That's why.
I could see Clay resenting that. I'm with you now.
And he said, like, in the reporting was that basically was evident, you know, increasingly evident, and especially more so as his play continued to decline, that he was just a miserable person, that he became a miserable person in the last 2 years. And that
can't be more miserable than Draymond in there, clocking teammates. I mean, you know, I don't know.
But Draymond also said that he
was... That'd be another reason I would, I guess, resent it. That you paid a guy that,
exactly.
that's bad for your locker room.
Not effective
folks,
offensively.
Everything else. We kowtow to him every chance. Every time he gets a tech, he gets thrown out of game, costs us.
Exactly.
We come back and say, oh, he got to be better. But we don't ever hold him to any account.
Right.
So I could see him resenting
Draymond. Yeah, I get it. I
Draymond
think that might have been a miscalculation by the franchise. But Draymond...
I don't think they owed it to him to finish it out with those two, though. The franchise.
But almost nobody does, right?
I mean, in the end, these guys decline, and it's
that's
business.
Right.
And Clay really declined. And frankly, it's like we're talking about with the Lakers. You're better off looking yourself in the mirror and saying, we need to end this if we're going to try to win future championships, than dragging something on and running yourself further in the ground, trading away draft picks, doing everything else to try to get an old core, another title when your run is over.
Right.
I mean, Bob Myers left for a reason, I imagine.
Yes, absolutely. He didn't want to have to clean that mess up.
Yeah, he knew it was over.
And the
best parts of it.
And Draymond said on his podcast that he was about to head to Memphis last summer.
Well, yeah, I heard we got a confirmation of that, of Memphis's interest, I thought, from that. I guess we're saying that we trust that from Draymond.
I don't think he'd lie. Because then you.
I mean, isn't Draymond, don't we, half the things out of his mouth we question? But this one we're going to say we believe.
I think.
There was smoke on this one, which is why I'm with you.
There was smoke on it.
Would have been great.
You would have played him at the four and Jaren at the five?
And you would have looked a lot better rebounding-wise. You wouldn't have been 25th, I guarantee you, with Draymond Green in there.
Or I guess you would have actually maybe played Draymond at the three, and you never do the Marcus Smart trade.
Maybe so.
That's what you would have done, right?
Maybe so.
Because you still had Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure Steven Adams didn't happen until after the Draymond smoke started. So, because that was the Steven Adams trade happened in February of this year. So this would have been June of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have, you know, and that was before, I think wasn't the Marcus Smart trade on draft night?
But Steven was hurt then, right?
We didn't think he was going to be out for
the
year.
No, we didn't know that till the Sunday before the season started.
But maybe the Grizzlies could have had that information.
But you're saying you would have brought him in to play the three, even expecting Steven to play and go 3-4-5.
Yes.
Yeah, either way. He'd have been out there.
Yeah, because Marcus Smart was on. He got traded here on the 23rd.
Right before the draft, yeah.
Yeah, so the smoke with Draymond started around the 20th, the 19th, 20th. I tweeted about it, and I went back and looked. So, just in terms of the context of the roster, I don't know. Maybe the Grizzlies were trying to get Draymond, and instead of Marcus, I'm speculating here. Mm. But then they get the indication that Draymond's not going to come here, and so that's when they pivot to Marcus Smart. I mean, that would make more sense to me than anything. But I don't know. But I think Draymond would have been great here. I think he would have been a fan favorite here. But I did find it interesting that he mentioned that. And said it out loud, but the piece was really good from Ramona, and it just sort of does. It illustrates how messy it can get, you know, And it also kind of makes you appreciate that the exits with the Grizzlies, you know, there have been some storied guys that have gone out of here. Mike, Mark, Zach, you know, and it's never gotten ugly. It's always been love. It's always been respect.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's an underrated piece of it, that the Grizzlies have able to, you know, been able to pull off those deals necessarily. But what I think they've done right, you know, by all those guys. They put Mark in a situation where he was able to win a championship. They sent Mike, you know, I guess Utah, you know, was not, I don't remember where. I guess it was a competitor at that time, right? It was a contending team. Yeah. Donovan was there. I mean, Gobert was there. So it was.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't purgatory.
I mean, they were a one seed in, what, 2020, 2019, one of the two. So, yeah, I think, you know, the Grizzlies have done a great job of making sure that those deals are always done, you know, amicably, which is an underrated skill. This Klay Thompson deal, there was no love lost. And, you know, that's an organization he won multiple championships with.
Did you hear his dad?
I did. He's salty as hell.
Real?
Oh, gotta be. Yeah, you know you wanted him to be a Laker, man.
But that's not the day to say that.
I agree. That was a bad look.
You're that frustrated by it that you're willing to voice it.
Right. Come on, man.
On the day of.
I mean, he should know it's a business as much as anything else.
Right. And I was expecting to hear a laugh or something.
Right.
Sort of, you know, going along those lines. That maybe he is deeply disappointed, but he's going to go lighter on this. And he's basically said, I can't celebrate this because my son's going to Dallas and not to the Lakers where I played. I thought that was sour as hell. Of a father. I really did. I mean, I don't care. If I'm deeply disappointed, I'm going to tell the media, man, you know, my son gets a chance to get paid here to sort of, you know, get a chance to go and prove again that he can still contribute to it. I'll tell him on the phone, man, why'd you sign with them folks, man? Should have gone. Come on, Dad.
Right.
You know, everybody knows my allegiance to the Lakers. I don't need to further cement it by saying my son picked the wrong team.
Exactly.
At this point in his career, I just thought that was sour as hell of Dad.
Yes. Yes.
You had a couple other Golden State notes, didn't you? They added a couple more pieces. Remember you talked about
Klay? Yeah, they
did. I
added,
think that's where you were going.
Well, yeah, I forgot about those things. I'm less high on those as everybody else seems to be. But D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson.
A couple of former Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, look, D'Anthony Melton is a good player, you know, for what you're going to get from him and his price tag, I would say. But he's not somebody that is going to change your playoff fortunes. We know that. That's established. He didn't show up for Philly last year. He was supposed to be that piece for Philly. He was hurt. And I think he did come back at some point, but it didn't change the outcome. Kyle Anderson, solid, dependable veteran, limited, right? You're limited in what you can get from him. Not bad additions.
Kyle Wiley vet. He'll help you in some situations.
But I don't think does it make the, you know, Warriors, like, will they beat the Kings last year in the play-in with those guys?
No, these seem like hang-on moves as opposed to, you know, for a team that clearly wanted to make some sort of splash.
Yep.
This is not a splash.
No.
These are hang-on moves.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
They're good within the sort of confines of, I guess, but like this isn't like, okay, we've got one last chance. Let's push all our chips in.
Dude, at one point, I mean, they were rumored that, you know, they were hoping to get Paul George, like, make a real move.
That
and so when
you're
talking about getting Kyle Anderson,
exactly,
DeAnthony Melton, I mean, you're talking about coming down some levels here.
Because you're not good enough on the wing, right? Kuminga and Wiggins, I mean, that's just not good enough.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Kuminga did take a big step last year. I'll give him that. So if it continues into this season, you know, that is something to think of. He averaged 16 a game last year, but he only shot 32% from three, and that's a problem. That's a big problem. It's just like you're depending too much on, you know, Podzimski and Kuminga, you know, to be big time starting guys for you next year, and I just I'm not really sure that either one of them is quite ready for that. It's funny, you know, I saw Kurt Heelan of Basketball Talk on NBC Sports. He's one of the first people I've seen kind of push back on, you know, the sort of forgetfulness it feels like accompanies the Memphis Grizzlies right now. This is what Kurt Heelan said. Honest question. A lot of people seem to think the Grizzlies are a play-in team next year in the West, Brad included.
Heard that this morning.
But aren't they more than that, ? This is a 50-plus win team for two straight seasons and a growing threat who had one down season with suspension and injuries. Why not a top-four bounce back? And I agree. I agree with Kurt. I think Kurt is absolutely right here. I mean, I've been saying it, but there's really no reason for me. I would say, on paper, at most, four teams are ahead of the Grizzlies. And I could argue with you about Dallas. I know they were in the finals, but I will argue with you about Dallas. Because I'm very much not sold on them for a full year. So I really don't have any reason to think the Grizzlies won't, as long as you're giving me the health, which is a big thing. You may not be able to give me that. But if you tell me that Bane, Ja, Jaren, and those guys play 75, 85% of the games, dude, they're going to be a top four seed in the West. I fully believe that.
If I was pushing back, I would say that those folks, if they don't believe in Zach Edey as a true answer at center, then what do you have? You have a team that has Jaren Jackson at the five. And a team that has Jaren Jackson at the five is not a good rebounding team. And so, again, I'm countering here. I'm not there. I'm with you. I lean towards you.
Right.
But I think that's a realistic argument for those that again, are saying, oh, well, I don't see Zach Edey as a 25 to 30, 20 to 25, 25 to 30 minute a game center, which Steven Adams was, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if their argument is based in that, it's a fair one. No?
I mean,
because if you don't believe in Jaren Jackson as a five, and that's all they have now next to him that's big.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in that as a true contender, as a top four seed, how is that? We saw it. We saw it for a ton last year. I realize it's not without a ton of other pieces, but Jaren was the five. Mm-hmm. You were not a good rebounding team. Tillman's out of here now. You don't have a lot of depth in terms of put next to Jaren to rebound for you. Like, you'll be small out there with Brandon. So, again, if they're basing their argument in that, I think it's fair. I'm with you that this is not a play-in team. I would go that it's a top six team in the West is the way I would play. I think I would play it a little player slow, but leaning towards you that absolutely the potential is there to be top four.
Yeah.
I want to give myself a little bit more room, but I'm also not where Brad is. Yeah. And that I think is fair if you don't believe in Edey. But everything I've heard from you, Brad, I mean, folks do.
So
and if Edey is good, then it should be fine.
Is the seventh seed playing?
Yes.
Yeah. 7-8.
I think they're 7 or 8. I think Thunder are better than you. I think the Nuggets are better than you. And by the way, this isn't a hope. This is just if I'm gambling. Thunder are better than you. Nuggets are better than you. Timberwolves are better than you. Clippers took a step back and are probably a play-in team. If not, maybe out. Right? What do y'all think of the Clippers?
They're definitely worse than you.
They're worse than you. So I can follow that. So they were
four,
the 4 seed.
That's a 4 that comes out.
Yeah, so they're out. Mavericks, I think they're better than you and even improved with Klay Thompson.
I'm fine with giving them the nod on paper, but I think it's close.
Suns are loaded up. And then the Pelicans got better because they just made a trade with Atlanta. Didn't they get Murray?
Yeah, but the Pelicans are not better than you. The Pelicans are just not better than you. I can't give you Pelicans.
I think you're going to be battling with the Pels, the Warriors, and the Lakers, and those are the teams that are in your wheelhouse. You might be a 6.
And I don't think the Suns are better than the Grizzlies. I mean, they got swept by the Timberwolves, and I mean, what did they really do? Well, I mean, what did the Suns add? I mean, what did the
they Suns, didn't add anything, but they're right. Just a good team.
I mean, they're just going to run it back with a year older, Kevin Durant.
Yep.
I mean, like I'm not really scared of that. I think the Grizzlies are better than the Suns, top to bottom. I know they are. I think they are absolutely better than the Clippers now. I think they're absolutely better than the Pelicans right now. I mean, they're better than the Warriors. Again, this is health here we're talking about. In the year since Desmond Bane joined the Grizzlies and they became who they are today, notwithstanding last season, which I think is an anomaly, they averaged 48 wins. Right,
he's a stud.
They average 48 wins. I mean, and that's where I'm using Bane because he was he's the third piece.
Yep,
Ja, Jaren,
he got him
Bane
over the top. Yeah,
and so I have no reason to think that they'll be significantly worse than 48 wins next year, even in a competitive West. The West's always been competitive.
Yep.
It was competitive in 2021 when they won 56 games. It was competitive in 2022 when they were the one seed and won 51 games. It's always been competitive. Joker didn't just show up yesterday. Jamal Murray didn't just show up yesterday. I mean, this has been something the Grizz have had to contend with for the entirety of their existence. So nothing to me has fundamentally changed. Yeah, maybe the Timberwolves have gotten better. That has happened. But show me the other teams and the Thunder. But show me the other teams other than the Thunder and the Wolves that have taken big steps. Because what I would say is I've seen a lot of teams that have taken steps back. The Suns, back. The Lakers, back. The Warriors, back. The Clippers, back. Those teams are all coming out. And the Pelicans – bro, that's, you want to talk about the Grizzlies injury history being shaky? That one's as bad as it gets.
No doubt.
Because I ain't trusting Zion. We see that. And he was in the best physical condition he's been in last season since he got to the league.
What about the Rockets? What about the Rockets?
They ain't close
to
ready.
They're not ready.
They ain't close to ready.
But they're coming.
They're coming, but I'm not, again, they're like a 7 to 10 day forecast, bro.
Right.
Like, it's going to change.
You got, I mean, I'm looking at FanDuel. You want to know what they got the Grizzlies for Western Conference odds?
Let me hear it.
8th.
Yeah.
Okay, who's in front? And give me the odds.
Let me take off my glasses here.
No, that's ass backwards that he has to take his glasses off to read.
No, to see closely. This is what happens when you get old. Okay, and I don't have bifocals yet. It's very normal. OKC's at +370, Denver +420, Minnesota +440, Dallas +490. There's your four.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix +1300, Lakers +1500, Warriors +1600, Grizzlies +2000, along with the Pelicans.
That's to win the West.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just sort of the order as they see it right now.
That's their handicap. I think that is mispriced, though. I think that is mispriced. I think they should be ahead of the Warriors, the Lakers, and the Suns. That is what I believe. Because, again, like, we saw the Suns get exposed in the playoffs, bro. They got swept.
Yeah, I mean, your roster is better than the Suns top to bottom.
I mean, Bradley Beal stinks.
Well, we haven't seen it work yet with Beal and those guys. And he was injured four portions, but we haven't seen it work yet between those guys. And you could also argue it'll look better, but they still have no depth.
They have no depth.
There's zero depth there.
Exactly. I mean, like,
and that hurts you in the West.
There's no depth. There was no depth last year, and there's even worse depth there this year because Eric Gordon's gone.
Mm-hmm. Went to Philly.
So, I mean, they brought in Monty Morris, but, like, there is no world where the Phoenix Suns, again, you're giving me 85% health. Obviously, anybody.
Well, again, and guess what? The KD I want out is coming.
Oh, 100%.
And Houston, absolutely. Houston flipped it where they're banking on it with their draft picks now.
Right.
What they did.
I mean,
with Brooklyn.
Why wouldn't you want to bet against this Suns team, bro? Yeah. They are one injury away from being out.
Well, it's an owner that came in wanting to make a big splash and went out and got himself a big three that doesn't work together. But he's tied in with the
that
money.
That is not a big three.
Exactly.
That's like a 2.5. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, Bradley Beal is he can't be that guy.
Well, unfortunately, he's the most overpaid player in the league.
He
probably is.
And he's one of only two that has a no-trade clause. Him and LeBron, that's it. Those are the only two guys that have no-trade clause. So. You know, I'm not – the Suns, mispriced. The Lakers, mispriced. Grizzlies at 20-1,
no, mispriced. I would definitely have them over the Lakers, Warriors, to your point.
I'd put them over the Lakers,
over, and over Phoenix as well. And so that gets them up to 5.
And plus the Grizzlies are – here's the other thing. They're going to care about the regular season, right?
My question is, are the Pelicans too low with you?
No.
You don't like the DeJounte Murray trade, so I'm asking the
wrong
guy.
I can't trust Zion.
And I'm assuming Brandon Ingram will be shipped out. You're right if you're basing it on Zion's health, though. That's fair.
I mean, it also we're assuming health of everyone, right? Where some teams will have injuries, some won't.
Y'all right about the Clippers, though. They got them. They've dropped them.
Dude, it's James Harden and who?
They got them still over the
Kings. They're screwed.
What, the Kings this low? No rebound for the Kings?
Yeah, the Kings are going to come back, bro. The Kings are not.
This seems low for the Kings at +3,500 below the Clippers.
I mean,
and below the Pelicans.
The Kings.
Significantly lower.
The Kings didn't do anything.
They re-signed Malik.
They brought in Devin Carter. But, I mean, you're not – I don't know what Kevin Herter's I don't know if he's
status.
Going back, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's back.
I'm not worried about 32-year-old De'Aaron Fox, 38-year-old Harrison Barnes.
I'm not trying to put them above the Grizzlies. I just think they're low on here.
Yeah, they might be.
To be below the Clippers and down there with Houston.
But I am just of the mind that – and I bet the Grizzlies to win the championship because I truly believe that it's possible. I mean, I think it's better than a 1%.
What odds did you get on that?
50-1.
Okay.
That's a good bet.
50-1.
Yeah.
For John Morant and the Grizzlies to win a championship, 50-1. I mean, that's outrageous to me.
Bro, they have Bronny James specials on here.
Yeah, of course they do. And some idiots are going to bet them, all right? That's
just Bronny James specials on FanDuel.
Dude, I saw one sports book had the most liability on Bronny to win Rookie of the Year.
Bronny James to score 20-plus points in any 2024-25 regular season game.
Oh, the books are loving that crap.
Is that +1,000? He's got his own category.
What a cherry for
now,
the
that's
books,
what I'm
John.
Talking about. If you're Dalton Connect yesterday,
let me bet no on that.
I would have resented
ridiculous.
That mess, man. Because it's a special day for you as well. And you're getting like one question.
Exactly.
About your time at Tennessee and how prepared you are to be.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
You are for the
second rounder getting more questions.
You were erased yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad timing. unfortunately. Because we do think it's a good circumstance for him on the court.
It
but
is. Yeah,
but bad timing for you to be in the same class as Bronny.
It is.
Man.
Yeah. So, look, I just think I think people are, and I get it. Because
well, you got a lot of faith in Zach Edey.
If we've
established anything here, it's that
I do.
Top four are going to depend a lot on your man holding up based on roster as currently constructed.
But I think that the human psychology is we forget about things we haven't seen. Right.
Oh, there's no.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. We haven't seen people forget the 50-point win over the Warriors. You know, in Game 5.
Well, Bob Myers didn't forget it. That's why he called him dangerous.
That's right.
Yes.
He knows.
People forget. You know, beating the Lakers and in the semis. They forget the 5-game series against the Timberwolves. Right. They forget all these things because it's been years. And I understand that, but you have to know what is coming. You have to know what is for you, what is about to be delivered.
Well, just tell me full health and I'll feel okay.
I wish I could guarantee that. I can't, you know, unfortunately.
Shaw particularly.
But I do believe that, you know, if you get these cats on the court at the same time for a significant amount of time, there are not many teams in the NBA that I'm putting above them, period. I'm not putting Dallas above them, all right? OKC still has to beat a decent team for me to believe it in
the
playoffs.
They're established.
I mean, I know that they look good.
And it's even more real.
They still got to go out there and do it. And let me say this, too.
Caruso is a great addition.
Here's a new problem that Oklahoma City's going to have to find out. They have so many bodies. They have so many bodies. And who's going to play what role, right? Like, what about Kaysen Wallace? What about the other Jalen Williams? Like, people are going to start to get boxed out. Isaiah Joe, like,
those roles don't change. I mean, Giddy got played off the floor.
Okay.
And in this case, Caruso won't.
Okay, right. I'm just saying, like,
and everybody else is still in sort of the same spots. And now you have a big to put next to Chet that you really can battle with.
I'm just saying.
They got Hartenstein.
Right, that's the big.
Yeah, it's all fun.
They're ready to go. He's not a real big.
They're ready to rock and roll.
People thought the same thing about the Grizzlies, right? I'm just saying, like, it is very rarely linear, right? It is very. Just a straight line at the top.
But the scary thing about them is they have the ability with all their assets, picks, and all those players you're talking about. If they wanted to take a swing on a guy at the trade deadline and go get a name to add to it and say, let's go win. They could do it because they've got that too. That's what's so scary about OKC.
Sure.
There's still more room to do more.
Yeah.
And if come trade deadline, if they decide, you know, we're not close enough, but we think we can cash in right now and really do something. I mean, we're coming off a one seed last year, so it's not some shot in the dark. They could do it because they have the assets to do so.
Right.
They can make it. That's what's scary about OKC. They still got all their picks. Everybody's on rookie deals.
Right.
A lot of flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun summer.
Oh, last thing about Golden State, they turned down a trade. The Bulls tried to give them LaVine. They said no. I guess Steph's smart enough.
Yeah.
That I'll just do it with Kyle Anderson and DeAnthony.
Right.
Instead of bringing that bum over here. Man, Bulls can't win for losing, y'all. We can't attach a first round or to it, and they won't take Zach LaVine off of our hands. So.
They're screwed, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They are, but maybe not more screwed than Blake Anderson.
Next story.
Oh, this is rough.
I guess. I don't know. He does seem to have the right guy for the job in terms of who he's hired for representation. Blake Anderson, former Arkansas State coach, now at Utah State. Utah State's informed him of his intent to fire him after external investigation of alleged non-compliance of Title IX policies that require full and timely reporting of disclosures of sexual misconduct, including domestic violence. It was announced Tuesday. Now, some of the language in this can get a bit confusing, but what I drew from it, we'll go into the statement. Utah State said the investigation stemmed from actions taken in spring 2023 that violated both his employment agreement and university policy. It also alleges Anderson violated rules that prohibit employees from investigating disclosures of sexual misconduct themselves. So I know some have spoken, you know, I think in reading this story, or certainly the headlines involved with it, have wondered, okay, was he involved in some sexual misconduct? No. The Title IX issue, it sounds like to me, is his investigation of alleged investigation of a situation involving one of his players and a university student or student athlete. That is what this is stemming from. Now, he has hired Tom Mars, who has been involved in these situations before, and says basically we're going to get that money from the university, which is obviously trying to fire him and not pay. Tom Mars said that stiffing a coach by blaming him for what his supervisor allegedly failed to do is a novel approach that hasn't been tried before, but that theory will never hold up in court. So again, we've got a little bit of a back and forth here in terms of what Blake Anderson did. I suppose there'll be more details involved in terms of his investigation, in terms of the players that were involved in this. We'll get more public as we go along here, and this becomes more public. Or I don't know, maybe having Tom Mars and the sort of public pushback will be enough for Utah State to fold. But Blake Anderson's got some litigation certainly on his hands, yeah, if he wants to get his money.
That's a weird deal, man.
Tom Mars doesn't take cases unless he thinks he can win them, though.
No,
right?
He's typically.
Who was
the
last
right
one when we were talking about him? Was it Nutt?
There have been so many, bro. There have been so many Tom Mars has taken over the years.
I thought the last
Houston
time,
got paid, didn't he?
I think I want to tell you it was Nutt.
Tennessee. Yeah. He was working for Tennessee when they were. It was Tennessee versus NCAA,
which they came out of great.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think they avoided NCAA stuff. They had to pay a fine, but he did a good job of getting them off the hook in terms of, you know, penalties. So. Yeah, Harbaugh, right? He was Harbaugh's attorney.
Oh, wow.
So that's another one. And again, you would say that worked out for Harbaugh. Because
mm-hmm.
he only got the 2 or 3 game suspension against the jabronis of the world, and then he got the hell out of there. So, yeah, no, I don't know what the hell's going on, but if you have Tom Mars, you're probably going to get what you want. that's the lesson here today.
Well, at one point, very, very, just because I pulled it up real fast, Pat Forty wrote a story in 2019 that attorney Tom Mars to become an NCAA investigator. So he's been on that side of it, too.
Man, he's dangerous. He's dangerous.
That's how he owns it.
As Bob Myers would say.
If he's been on the NCAA side, then that was back in 2019. He's obviously back representing folks, but if he's been on both sides, you can't beat him.
Can't beat him. Tom Mars, undefeated. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us third hour. We'll talk to him about what he's got going on this summer. Peach Jam coming up and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM? Yes.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Out to Shoot 360. Stick around for that. Looking forward to being able to give you the details. But in the meantime, in between time, 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville, it's where you can go to get the latest and greatest technology when it comes to basketball. Innovative. Passing, dribbling, shooting. If you have a hooper in your house, they're going to get better at the game of basketball. That is a fact. Putting in the time out at Shoot 360. The best of the best use it. It's backed and invested in by NBA players. See it for yourself. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Yeah, I promise y'all, y'all going to see a little CJ here over the next few years at the Cordova location. And we can't wait to get open. It's going to be much bigger than the Collierville location. But as John said, we've still got everything set up out in Collierville, 85 Market Center Drive for you. And best of all, you can get your spot in line for the new place, the big place. Norton Hurd IV, our guest coming up at 125, knows all about it. Said he was going to give us the hard hat tour beforehand, John. I'm still waiting on that. Sounds like we're going to be like y'all. We're going to see it during the grand opening. Can't wait for it. And again, it's not just the shot that Shoot 360 can perfect. The ball handling, the passing, it's the entire game. And they go old school with the weight training and the development coaches if that's the way you want to do it. So it's the future of basketball training. It's happening right now out at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville, Shoot 360.
Yes, sir. Up at ESPN.com. Top three stories. Lakers, 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 Lakers. Everything
and
Lakers.
And doesn't that make you roll your eyes because they're not even a contender?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a tough time of the year. We don't have to dress it up. You know, we're taking J.J. Redick hires a fifth assistant, it's a headline. You know what I mean? That's what we're dealing with right now. And the good news is for the Grizzlies, I'll be interested to see this roster whenever it comes out. Because I'll tell you one
thing. They're taking their sweet time with it, aren't they?
No question. Maybe they
must be those last couple.
Yeah, they want to, you know, take it into the holiday weekend.
I mean, we got DJ, we got GG, we got Zach. If we like, what else we need? And we're great. And we say play Larabia. And we say play Zaire. Make him play. If right. He doesn't, he's cut.
I think both of those guys should play more than GG by far. I mean, like, not even close.
You're the whole. Dude, he's like 19.
I don't care how old he is. He's arrived. He's good enough.
Protecting GG.
Protecting GG.
He's not going to be a starter.
That's a documentary on Oxygen. Protecting GG.
While I do believe he is right now in the rotation.
Easily.
He is 19. I am not worried about him getting hurt. I'll be playing him. Get him run now. Lord knows he ain't going to play the minutes he did last year. I don't think so. Not if we get the health that you've been praying for. He shouldn't play that many minutes. And so he should want to play. And we're still talking about a developmental stage at 19. He has no finished product.
No, not a finished product.
Now, Zach is a starter.
He ain't going to get finished in the summer league. You know, he's going to get finished. He's going to be forged by fires of the iron in the NBA, not the damn stupid summer league. Well, he'll go off for 40
against GG everybody. Play all three games. That man, 19 years old. He read a ball.
Bro.
What you saving
him for? I'm going to cancel you, bro, if you keep this agenda up.
You sound like you're in the start GG crowd, which I think
he's the sixth man.
That Grizzlies faction
of
fans.
He's the sixth man.
Y'all crazy.
He's the sixth man.
Let me tell you this. Sixth man is Brandon Clark. Let me tell you that.
He's the real sixth man.
So you and the GG stands, y'all need to back up because the sixth man is Brandon Clark.
GG is going to be fantastic next season. I don't need to see him in Vegas at all.
You just put him ahead of Vince.
Yes.
He ain't ahead of Vince.
Oh, he's ahead of Vince.
Vince is seven.
He's ahead of Vince. He and Vince.
Luke might mess around, be eight. Push GG to nine.
So you think GG Jackson's going to be a ninth man next year?
He could be. He could be eight. He could be seven.
That would disappoint
me. But he ain't getting to six.
That would disappoint me, bro.
He's not getting to six. Y'all putting too much on him at 19 years old. Y'all, this man is not Kobe.
Okay.
Now, he did some Kobe things on a bum team last year. Bum!
But I guarantee you, a lot of 19-year-olds, most 19-year-olds would not have been able to do that.
I agree, but we have now moved to what we hope is contender status. And you're telling me you're giving him more meaningful minutes? I just see that sort of being reined in a little bit.
Okay, fine.
He can play a couple games. You don't have to fast track him.
He can play a couple games, but I'm not playing him all seven.
Thanks. We talked you into two games.
Yeah, I mean, he would not play in Utah.
This is not Ja. He is 19. He needs to develop. He needs run. Let's play GG.
Okay.
Him, Laravia, Zaire. Y'all rolled. Y'all playing. Big three. Edie will come in for two games.
I mean, yeah, a couple, for sure. You know, yeah, I guess he could improve. He could improve his field goal percentage from the floor. He's 43%. He could come
absolutely.
Up. You know, so
shot selection. That's what we're working on.
Yeah. And, you know, GG would have games where, you know, he would be very hot or cold, right?
He looked 19.
Yeah,
games where
exactly.
He looked 19,
exactly.
Yes.
Which is understandable. You know
which is
I mean?
Crazy because Cody Williams is 19.
Yes.
And he's in this draft.
Yes.
That's what's crazy about GG. There is no need to fast track this. But I'm with you. I want to see more of him. I want to see him in meaningful minutes, but we don't have to
rush. Dawes connects 23.
That's absurd,
right?
Bro.
Like,
and this guy's got a head start on understanding, you know, what this league's about.
And that's probably the calculation,
and he
right?
understands it. He really does
the
seem
the Grizzlies to... just said, listen, Dalton Connect's not going to end up playing ahead of GG. So why would we even waste our time? He's not...
I mean, I could have seen it if you're running off from Luke, you know what I'm saying, and you need that shooting in there.
Yeah, maybe.
And you know, GG. But I'm with you. I'm with you.
You just need that center more.
I mean, you just feel so much different about your wing situation going into this year than you did last year. Not that it's just set in stone, but it's a lot better. You don't have you're not trying out Roddy's and Zaire's and Laravia's,
right?
You know you're more settled,
right? Exactly. So it should be interesting. As soon as I think the news today was that Zach Edey is going to be out at the Redbirds game.
Bro, somebody sent us a picture yesterday. He's just walking around downtown Memphis. I loved it. And they stopped him and took a picture with him. Just him and the dude that walked past him. Apparently, he was just taking in the sights. It's on our somebody DM'd it to us yesterday.
Oh, really?
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Don't you lie? I mean, Zach Edey sort of getting his feet in.
Very.
Into the Memphis waters and sort of learning about, you know, what's around him.
Yeah.
Got to tell him, man. You got to tell him there's more in Memphis just downtown.
Yeah, it'll be him and Jalen Wells signing autographs for the Redbirds tonight from 5:15 to 5:45. So if you want to get on out there and and see Zach Edey. Check out Zach Edey and Jalen Wells. I don't want to do a Jalen Wells erasure, but yeah, he'll be out there signing autographs from 5:15 to 5:45.
Well, he's. I mean, you're gonna. It's his size is gonna intimidate you.
His size.
Whoa.
Hopefully,
it got all the beat writers.
Oh, it did
and it? Yeah. Where they go, they had all.
Athletes. Oh, that's right. Everybody was like,
when you see him, I mean,
using very, very interesting language, like this dude is huge. You know,
because when you see it is.
Oh my God,
it's startling.
I mean, 7'4" is as big as you can possibly.
Biggest man in the league.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've had some big guys. You know, how would people have felt about Jake Sokolidis? What were beat writers tweeting back then?
I dug in. Not same. And what was he, 7'1"?
Yeah, he wasn't a 7'4", but right, Jake was big, though.
Even the head on Edey is large.
You're
larger
right.
Larger than
Jake. Kind of had a small head, didn't he?
It feels like it.
He had a little head, big body.
I feel like little Beetlejuice going on there.
Yeah. Were you a Jake Sokolidis believer?
Never.
Never one time?
Nope.
Dude, he was him, many would say. Yeah, dude, look at what he averaged in the league, bro. With the Grizzlies, his first year, he averaged 4 a game.
We had some bad ones with them Trabanskys, this guy. Who's my Iranian?
Haddadi.
I mean, just some awful centers rolling through here, them cut for a few years. Was that all Chris Wallace? Was that his big?
I think so.
I mean, what a
Kufos.
Run.
Kufos.
Oh.
Costa Kufos. People liked Costa Kufos, though.
Just some trash. But you had to talk yourself into these guys.
No doubt.
That's how bad it was around here.
It was bad. It was bad.
With some of the names of these centers.
Yeah.
You remember Cesare Trabanski?
Not really. I don't really remember much.
I thought I remember
him
being real skinny, and it did not work.
My Grizz memories, like I said, sort of begin with Sokolidis. You know, like that era. 03-04, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... like that was fun because you know you just like all these guys suck really and they're just like coming together you know and they're making playoff runs. They didn't do much when they got there, but it was still a fun journey, right? You had Jake Sokolidis and Jay Will was outcast at that point.
Mm.
You know,
those were the days, huh?
I enjoyed that. You know, when there's like literally no expectation, the team just moved here, and you know, who cares? Like, why does Memphis have a team? It was fun.
Yeah, folks, tell me Jake wasn't close to 300 as big as he was. Edie's. I said he's just a different breed, bro.
Yeah, no, Jake was not, but Jake was still a legend in his own way.
Again, I think you're holding him up too
high. He was
high.
7 foot two, 290.
Okay,
I mean,
he got another inch because I said 7'1", but again, 290. Edey, legit 300.
Yeah.
Ed weighs 60.
Yeah, no, well, I'll say this.
In a good way, I'm saying in the best way possible.
Jake Sokolidis, Greek Cup winner, FIBA Saborda Cup champion, both happened in the year 2000. Can you please show him a little bit more respect than you've done to this point?
Somebody named their something after him, Substack, whatever it is.
Oh,
somebody local.
A Sokolidis?
Yeah. Who is it? It's. Wow. I should know. I think I've read it before.
Wow. And he also did. His real name is not Jake Sokolidis.
What?
He actually announced in 2000 that his real name is Alexei Ledkov.
And Parker Fleming does it.
And he is not of Greek descent, as previously believed.
Yeah, Sokolidis, done by Parker Fleming.
Okay.
That's what it inspired.
But did you get that, though? Did you get that his real name is not Jake Sokolidis at all? His real name, he says, is Alexei Ledkov. And he is not of Greek descent. That's what he said. This is very controversial. Very, very, I mean, I don't think this has been reported. Like, this man's name is not his name. Like, the whole thing on the back. Like, sometimes I feel like you would see Yao. He would have Yao on the back. And sometimes he would have Ming on the back.
He would definitely have Yao. I think I remember those days.
Sometimes it would be Ming.
But don't
Ming,
they go by their first names?
I think so.
Right, and that's what, so it was mostly Yao.
But he did have Ming on the back of his jersey.
I don't know about Ming, bro.
Bro, he did.
I don't know. Maybe you might be making that one up.
It was always Yao. There's no way.
I just remember Yao. I'm trying to remember Ming. I can't see it. Now, it might have happened in the streets.
That's how you
John buying the Ming jersey.
I want the Ming one.
They were Yao's.
Bro. I want the Ming joint, bro.
Yeah, no.
We did that all
the
time.
They do first names. Yeah, okay. They do first names, bro.
Well, why did we? I wanted the Ming. I wanted the Ming jersey, bro.
Very rare.
I got the joint on Lamar. That joint had the pinstripes and the.
They put
Ming.
That together themselves, bro.
Damn. That's crazy. I'm pretty sure it was his all-star jersey that said me.
Go back, because I'm confused. You're telling me Jake is not Greek? He's not who he says he is?
Correct.
I'm missing part of this.
Jake, he says his name is Alexei Ledkov.
So who's that? Who's Ledkov? What is that? Is that Russian?
I don't know.
Is it Polish?